You're listening to Freed on Business. To talk to Jim and his guests, call 305-541-2350. That's 305-541-2350. Now, back to your host, Jim Freed.
Oh, we have been having a great time. Wanda's been doing some tricks back there and making us crack up during the breaks. I think you should listen to me someday on the Facebook and you hear a little bit more of that backstory. We're also on YouTube. Hey, we're here with my good friend, Jonathan Eisman. He's been in the restaurant business in New York and Miami Beach, which is the missing borough of New York.
It is.
For many, many years. We've got some great stories we're going to share now. So you walk into the restaurant one day, somebody's sitting there, they're doing something unusual. Take it from there.
Well, Jim, you kind of left the door wide open, but I mean, you know.
So did you.
You called me a celebrity chef when we first came here, but I think you're a celebrity realtor. I mean, if people saw the energy that was going on in here, this needs to be a TV show, not just a radio show.
Real estate business person.
Excuse me.
That's okay. Well, excuse we do me. More than just realty here. Yeah, you know. Yeah, well, you know, definitely. We do real estate. So let's say this, John. Let's say I've got a big parcel in one of the neighborhoods in Miami. I'm trying to create an identity. I come to you. You did Pacific Time. I want something like Pacific Time, like Joey's, like one of those places. Soika in the early days was staked out.
Definitely.
So
News Cafe in the early days.
News Cafe. Well, high five to Mark Soika.
Definitely.
I've got a retail space. I'm in an emerging area. Make it Alapata. Say it's Alapata. So what would somebody do? What would be the steps that they would take to make a placemaking type of restaurant?
Well, it's interesting. One of the first, you know, new places, very forward-thinking placing. I'll, you know, give them a little perk here. It's a place called Deco Coffee Shop, just opened on 13th Avenue and 29th Street in the middle of Alapata.
Ooh, when are we going to meet there for coffee?
Who would have thunk, you know? I mean, opened a few weeks ago. These guys have a lot of courage and are forward-thinking. They're doing their own thing. They're roasting coffee in
Where's
the middle of
Alapata. Where's the address?
It is,
in general,
1300 Northwest 29th Street ish.
Where we're going to go, we're going to support their business. They're the next
Absolutely.
Panther Coffee.
They're lighting up the neighborhood. There was nothing on that block. It was kind of dank and, they've created a great environment and a little bit of a destination place. But, you know, listen, I think a lot of these guys, or people who go in and they buy these huge swaths of real estate and they spend, you know, $50-100 million, and they're going to spend a couple hundred million more to develop it. And they sit there and go, hey, let's go find somebody to pay us a lot of rent and open up a restaurant. And they get a security deposit. And, you know, 36, 48 months later, they've collected no rent at all and they still have an empty place. So
I think they have equipment sitting there if they're lucky.
Well, it's the wrong stuff and it goes in the trash.
Wrong place.
Yeah. So I think it's the time where a lot of these real estate investors realize, listen, we're going to spend $100 million on real estate. Let's throw another $500,000 in the pot. Let's build the restaurant. Let's get it to look like what we want it to build look like. Let's get somebody qualified to design it. And let's start the fire with a great small place. I mean, Joey's is a perfect example. Listen, when we opened on Pacific Time on Lincoln Road, there wasn't a single human being on Lincoln Road. It was crazy.
No. There was that lady that did the rollerblading.
Well, I don't mean it was completely desolate, but I mean, there weren't any pedestrians.
Was it under construction then? Or did that?
No, that was after.
Oh my God. You did it before the construction?
Yeah. We lost our front door for almost a year. Had to come in through the back door.
Oh my gosh.
And who came in through the back door was pretty amazing. The people we attracted back then.
It's incredible. The who's who that I've seen go through there and that we've talked about off the air. We can't really mention any names, but so now let's do a little role play. I'm a developer. That's not really a role play. I'm building a big apartment building. Again, not really a role play. But I haven't really done the final drawings yet. How can you help me?
Well, listen, we go in, we do a neighborhood survey and see what's working and what's not working. You tell me how many square feet you want to dedicate to a restaurant. First thing we do is, you know, we get creative. We draw it out to see if it's going to work, if the space actually works, because some spaces just aren't really restaurant spaces. They might be retail spaces or what have you. But we see if it works. We design something that's utility. Then we go and we cost it out. And we go through architectural design, MEP, and the costing of all the hard equipment. And we see, you know, if you've got the, you know, do a little heavy lifting, if you've got the back to want to write the checks and build a restaurant in your building.
Now, what's the first piece of equipment that you're really going to build the restaurant around?
The chicken. Oh, equipment. Well, listen, we build everything around the front door, to be honest with
really?
You.
Really?
And we just finished a great design that we're doing, you and I are doing together in Little Haiti. And it's about 90 days into the project. We've done the architecture. We've just finished the MEP. We've got a design. I did that with myself and the GC. Then we we closed
Shout
our eyes.
Shout out to the GC.
It's McKenzie Construction.
Say it again.
Gavin McKenzie and Company.
High five.
And then we handed off to some really brilliant people in the restaurant equipment business, like Bob Green at American Food Equipment, and see if we've made mistakes. And he gets to yell at us and tell us what we've done wrong.
That's what an eraser's for.
Yeah, but listen, what I've been able to do is build an incredible, you know, just war chest of experienced people, the best people in town. We can get things done quickly. But going back to your original question, we say, you know, the customer walks in the front door. That's the first place we start. And, you know, what does it look like? Where's the equipment going to be? Where are we going to place the kitchen? Where should the bathrooms be?
Come on. Does it really matter where the bathrooms are?
Absolutely.
Why?
I have a thing about not seeing inside a bathroom from any seat in a restaurant. So if somebody opens a bathroom door, you should never see a toilet, a sink, a garbage can, none of that business.
What about the... What about the stove? I'm a novice. I would think that the place is built around the stove.
Well, the places are built around a kitchen, but I say customer walks in the front door. I mean, you can build. There was a place that was just designed in Wynwood. We won't say where, but the place you couldn't get in the front door. You'd walk in the front door and you'd walk into the side of a stove. So
That doesn't sound too smart.
No, well, they were novices. They had lots of money and lots of real estate, but they didn't have a single brain as far as it came to the restaurant world. They didn't hire somebody to help them because, of course, they knew everything.
The first thing you need to know is that you don't know everything.
Absolutely. So we've, listen, in my career, I've made plenty of mistakes. We've learned from them, so you don't have to pay for those mistakes. We build around the environment and certainly the kitchen and to make sure that there's a technical term in the restaurant. It's called the bus path. So everything has to circulate kind of in one direction. So not everybody's crashing into each other. There's too many restaurants that open up and there's just no traffic pattern. They're too noisy. They smell. One part is hot. One part is cold. It's just no good.
Yeah. Well, it's all about making the person want to come back.
Absolutely. It's all about. Listen, when people come to your restaurant, it doesn't matter if it's McDonald's or Thomas Keller's new place in Miami Beach. There's a level of expectation. As a restaurateur, it's our job to have you come to the front door with the expectation, and when you leave, that we've exceeded that expectation.
That's the goal. To me, a great compliment is when I go up to somebody and I say, "You've exceeded my expectations." I can't give a better compliment than that.
It's kind of like coming in your radio show today. This is amazing.
Well, you're terrific. Amazing. Yeah, nobody really sees the magic that goes on here till they come here. It's just incredible. I really love the energy, and I feed off of the other people that are here. It's not really about me. It's about the guests. So let's talk more about you being the guest. So you're from the Northeast. You moved down here. Sounds like a lot of people we know.
I'm from Brooklyn.
Yeah, I'll bet you are. So what are some new concepts that are going around Miami that are creating some buzz?
Well, listen, there's a lot of competition in similar sectors. The fast casual sector has been huge. That's essentially a place where you go in to a point of sale section. You order at the counter. They give you a little number and you sit at a table. Some people are doing it well. Some people are doing it poorly. But there's just a gigantic amount of competition in that sector. A lot of competition for that spend, that dollar that's in people's pockets. The food hall concept.
What is a food hall? I really don't understand that. It looks to me like it's just a big bunch of tables surrounded by stuff.
You know, food hall, it's funny. Food halls are something that I originally started to hear about, and it was like the whole idea was like repellent to me. It's like I would never go in one of these places. This is just dreadful. I happen to love them, and they're essentially places. They can range from a couple thousand square feet to 10,000-20,000 square feet, and they're usually framed with different restaurants in small little box kitchens. Maybe they're 500, 700, 800 square feet, and you're going to have 2, 5, 10, 15 different food concepts in this, you know, this hall, this auditorium, central bar generally in the middle.
It's not like
a food court?
Right.
No, it's not like a food court.
Why?
I think quality and atmosphere are probably the defining factors.
I agree.
You know, they're not plastic tables. There's not garbage cans all over the place. There's not lots of neon. And, I mean, listen, a lot of food courts kind of, it looks like they're designed by the same people who design gas stations.
Yeah, look, I like Casa too. I'll give them a shameless plug. I go to it in the Saks Fifth Avenue in Brickell City Center. In fact, that's where Vivian and I went for our first dinner out when we could go out.
Well, I'm happy you brought that up. That's got to be kind of the epitome of the high end. Mickey, who is the owner of Casa Tua,
great place,
does a brilliant job.
Great place for a business lunch, easy to get to for everybody. Easy in, easy out. It's my new place for a business lunch.
Listen, there's a food hall that's about 40 blocks north of that one that I went to in a building I found it to be absolutely as disappointing. It had the atmosphere of a waiting room in an airport, and everybody was touting it as being this highfalutin place. And they have an Italian counter, and I had, you know, the sliced prosciutto and the cheese, and, you know, the cheese was, and the prosciutto was warm, and the plate was, and then I had the good fortune to walk into Mickey's place in the Casa Tua in Saks Fifth Avenue, and it was brilliant. They're not missing design issues in there, but the food is so good. And the place is so nicely put together that they cover up whatever problems they have. He's done a great job of that place.
It is. When you walk in, you're greeted immediately, and it's and this, it is kind of circular. No matter which way you come in, I've come in through the back, mm-hmm. and I've come in through the front, and it's great, and the food is tremendous.
Yeah, the quality of what they're serving is. But let's be real. I mean, that place must have cost $6, $7, $8, $50 million to build. It's just a spectacular place. But you don't need to spend that kind of money to build a great restaurant. I mean, restaurants these days, you know, you can build a great restaurant for a few $100 a square foot and have a clean, you know, bright, well-lit place where you can't see the bathroom from a seat in the restaurant.
So what would you consider to be like a new thing that's on the horizon? Local chefs. There's some good local chefs that are coming up that are good businessmen, too.
That is the hardest combination possible. Most chefs don't have the greatest business acumen, but they can partner up with somebody who does. I had the lucky combination of having both for a long time, and it served me very, very well. But yeah, there's a lot of good local talent around, a lot more than there used to be. And I think the healthful food sector is really going to keep growing. I mean, a couple years ago, it was organic, vegetarian.
Everybody's organic now.
But, you know, it's really taken root, and people are very concerned about what they're consuming, what they're feeding their children, and it's important. It's really important.
All right. Well, listen, I want to thank you for coming in and talking restaurant with us. You're more than welcome to hang out and do another segment. If you got to get going, that's up to you. We're going to talk a little bit about why I'm supporting Nikki Fried. Wanda's going to talk about the news of the day. We're going to have a great time. I think if you stick around, you might have fun too.
I may do that.
All right. Well, listen, Wanda, rock and roll the house, babe.